It has been a good morning thus far, and I hope that the Lord will enable me to finish it out as a good day in Him. There are a couple of things that I will remind you again that I said last week. I did not think about that until it was all over with. But I probably would, if I had thought of it, would not have taken them out. I don't know where or how this will go. It was about midnight, and I was almost ready to lay down. And a few thoughts came to mind, and I went back and picked up my pen, scratched a piece of paper, and I wrote them down. They were good thoughts last night, or so I thought. But this morning, they didn't make a bit of sense. I mean, I couldn't even get where I was going last night. Don't know what I was saying when I wrote that. So I just tore it up and threw it away. And dependent upon our God who is faithful. I want to speak to you from verse 15. On the last phrase in that verse, an idle soul shall suffer hunger. We'll read the verse in its entirety in a moment, but would you pray with me? My Father, any of the children that has been walking with you for some length of time, doesn't have to be long, they finally realize there's nothing I can do. Can't keep myself. Can't proceed on without thee. How true the words of our Lord Jesus ring so often. Without me, ye can do nothing. But we gather, I trust all, looking to thee, waiting upon thee, thy Spirit, with a great desire. Come, Lord Jesus, reign in our midst. Lord, surely with that being true, we will be careful in hearing. We will be careful in the examination of ourselves, knowing that the glimpse we got today, one day, we will see thee in thy fullness. Are we being prepared? Is my garment spotless? Of course not. But help, O Lord, have these dear souls. For one day it will not be my voice that they hear. But they will hear thee because they'll be in thy presence. Make us a people ready. A people with our hearts overcoming us. Because what we've learned, what we see, it's done nothing but exalt him. Oh, dear Lord, give us thy spirit. Help weak, frail vessel. That in my speaking, it in no way would hinder these from hearing thee. Be exalted, be glorified. Begin a work afresh and anew in all our hearts, because this is the day that you made, and you've seen fit to bring us into it, and may it be the beginning of all our days. In Christ's name, we ask these things. Amen. Proverbs 19:15, slothfulness casteth into a deep sleep, and an idle soul shall suffer hunger. One that is not active, one that is not in pursuit of him. There are some promises that are given to us, the children. There are some warnings throughout Scripture. And there are some that I just want to take God as being true, not having to experience them. I thank him for the experience in others. But I don't want God to bring me where he told Jeremiah he would take him. If you're dismayed at their faces, I'll confound thee. Thus far as I know in here, there are none that make any kind of facial expression that would hinder me. I've had those. And one lady for several times, when I'd get on some of these topics, the sovereignty of God, the being of God, she'd sit through the whole thing, shaking her head. Until one day I had had enough, and I called her out. Didn't call her name, but looking straight at her, and she knew, and her husband came to me the next Monday and said, "Were you talking about my wife yesterday?" I said, "Yes, sir." He said, "I figured that, and I apologize." I said, "There's nothing on you." But he was so kind to me. But she quit. She didn't ever believe what I was saying, but she never shook her head in disagreement again. And she was in that last illness that you get sometimes before the Lord takes you home. And she had sent for me, and I rode about 60 miles to see her there in the hospital, and her husband said every 10 minutes she's asked me, is he out there yet? I still do not know how she went out of this world. But I just want to take God at his word so that he will not confound me. I've done that enough to myself. A stuttering, stammering tongue, confounded. But I don't want God to do it. Again, he said to Jeremiah, cursed be the man that maketh flesh his arm. I don't wanna know anything about that man or being cursed who maketh flesh his arm and his heart departeth from the Lord. He is like a heath destitute in the desert. He will not see good, but he will inhabit the parched places of the earth. I believe God. I don't want to experience being in that dry, barren desert and heaven's moisture not again falling as the word of God drops into my heart. How shall you escape, Hebrews 2:3, if you neglect so great a salvation? That'd be the last time with no remedy. If I spend my time in neglecting the great salvation. Not that is declared today in most places. You made a decision. They never expect anything else out of you as far as it being towards God. And one of the most difficult things that I ever face is the reality of a message in my own heart before, oft times after. There have been some spoken to you here that God made me go back and live in that the next week. One of the most difficult was faith. God said, okay, let's begin to learn what you spoke about yesterday. One spoke with me one day this week about getting through with an oral exam. Did pretty good. Was this person's thinking? But she got to thinking, I should have said this. I left that out. That's me. Every Sunday evening, Sunday night, sometimes all the way into, maybe through Monday. I should have. I ought not to have. And you let the devil take place in all these accusations, and it makes a long, long evening, night, sometimes all day. But what good is any scripture if you don't know the reality of it? An idle soul, though it was once active, the whole week I found no food. Personally, I found no water for a thirsty soul. And in searching all week, it made me feel, or it seemed like, that within there was an idle soul. But then I got to thinking, no, my soul wasn't idle. It's been seeking God throughout the week. Didn't have any refreshments in my heart from Him. Nothing from the Scripture that was really standing out that I could feed upon. That which I thought that I had had, an inactive soul, an idle soul, I didn't find Him. But my soul was searching hard after Him. This week I could relate more. I could relate more to Job. I go forward, but He's not there. I go backwards. He's not there. I cannot perceive Him. Promises that were dear yesterday. The word that was living yesterday. Looking back, but I can't perceive God there. On the left hand where He works, but I cannot behold Him. He hides Himself on the right hand, that I cannot see Him. You will go through those times. It's not always because of sin. A lot of times it just has to do with growth, which you think you're not doing. But God's nowhere throughout the week. In Scripture, in prayer, I could relate to Job more than I could to Enoch, who walked with God and was not, because God took him. But it was Job's active soul. He did not have an idle one in search for the God he knew and needed so. But all the time, I don't know how long it was from Job 1 and 2 to chapter number 42. Don't know how long, but I know it was a good while. And he was in misery and pain. Religious crowd comes over and sits down to chat with him, and they find out we can't do anything because he's self-righteous. And he won't admit that he's in this condition because of the judgment of God. But all that time, miserable comforters they were, physicians of no value. His soul was active. It was not idle. Children, the difference between conversion, true conversion, and a profession of faith is within your heart there is a living entity. Something with a distinct and independent existence. That's salvation. In the beginning, we don't know what it is. We come to find out it's a person. It's a new creature that God has created within. It's God giving us a living soul, totally independent of everything, though it is living in an old body of flesh. It hinders it oft. It can't get out. can't get away from. But he's there within. That which never had been now is in existence. I don't know how this is, but all of you that have been mothers, you know what it is when that child begins to move. Then you can see or hear through the instruments today a heartbeat, and even see. That's a Christian. And I'll get, probably not today, but I have every intention on dealing with this ungodly, wicked crowd that are standing up and crying out, kill them. If you don't want them up to the point of birth, and then I've heard of one or two at birth, the life of a living child was taken. 60 million, I think I'm right there. You that brought life into existence, was such a joy to you. And the thought of ever having taken that life away would send cold chills up your back. That's Jesus Christ in us. That's the new building. That's the new man wherein God the Holy Spirit takes up residence. And Jesus within grows and develops as he did coming from Mary's womb. Wisdom, stature, favor with God and favor with men. And so the life of Christ. You say, well, that doesn't seem right saying that. Christ in you, the hope of glory. It is Christ fashioning you, and that life within in his image. One day you found you had something within, something now exists that never has been. It's called salvation, children. It's the one thing that we've lost. It's the one thing that we do not see taking place today. But I hope I'm not speaking to a single soul here, but he without life within is satisfied with reading his Bible. Feels like it's his duty. An active soul reads, but he doesn't read to mark off. He's got an active soul in reading, seeking God's holy bread, heavenly manna, to sustain that he has created within. He, without life, can enter into a closet or say his words riding down the road to get to work, just saying words, and he's all right, he's satisfied, but an active soul, he's seeking a living word from a living Christ when he prays. He feels like if that was not a reality this morning, this night, I'm just uttering words. Folks, you can attend, if we had that many, 200 services a year, if we had three as we used to, and one extra added on, that'd be over 200 services. You could sit under every one of them. And hopefully they all have been sound biblical exposition. But it wouldn't do you any good if you didn't have an active soul in listening. Many preachers today, most in our land, are of the belief that their hearers can be educated into salvation. No, salvation is God giving life wherein there was nothing but darkness. God giving you a living soul, which from that day on will be active. Every day? No. Some days it might be longing to have a word or speak with God. And they seem like a soul's not active today. And I'm for right exposition. I'm for declaring truth. But these things are fruitless in and of themselves. You gain nothing in all your religious activities if in those your soul is idle. Is it that seeking Christ? There's a great difference between those that are committed to church programs and activities, always busy doing. A lot of difference in that and a Christian having a soul birthed, a living soul. And I found this in its own self so refreshing. The word soul, as used there in Proverbs 19:15, is translated life 117 times. Life. It's translated person 29 times. Do you see what God is saying? If you've got an active soul, it's because life is there. It's because a person that never was within is now there. A living person has been birthed in this old fleshly frame. One day God Almighty breathed the breath of life into your nostrils. You became a living soul. One came to the Lord Jesus and said, "Lord, what's the great command?" He said, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, soul, mind." You know what soul there means? Breath of life. You can't love God until there's life, until there's the breath of God. That soul means a living, vital force within. It is that animates the body. Jesus said, "You want to know the great commandment? Love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, soul, and mind." That your Father has birthed in you a being with a soul. That soul having an essence different from your body. It's made of God. Of course our bodies are made from God. We still have the image of God stamped upon an old corrupt body. In many ways, God can be seen. But soul, a living person, a vital force, and that being within can by ordained means attain to its highest end. And one day reach its secure eternal blessedness. And that's what you're looking for. That's what that little one's looking to be, a teenager, and the teenager an adult. Just something in us that wants to grow up and become independent and make our own decisions. Well, that was given by the Lord, not the corruptness that's in that. But He created that little infant, and over the years, that essence called life is trying to attain its highest end. What's that? Stepping inside the gates of glory, knowing the judge of all the earth will say, "Well done, my child." You all, I know I've told you, and you've probably read it, you're familiar with this song, "All Is Well," written by Horatio Spafford. I'm pretty sure. He was a very successful lawyer in Chicago, a very wealthy man from his real estate investments. But the great fire of Chicago, he lost his fortune. Around that time, his only little son died with scarlet fever. And he sent his wife and his four daughters to England just to get them away from the scene and the devastation that they'd been through. He was going to join them later. He just had to finish up a little business here. And the ship that they were on had this accident and sunk. Mr. Spafford got this telegram from his wife: "Saved alone. What shall I do?" He went to her. As he was crossing the Atlantic, where they did, the captain told him, "This is the spot that the ship went down. How could a man that's lost all his children, five of them, sit down there and write, 'It is well with my soul'? It was not well with his old man. You know he was grieving. But there was that within that was well. God did it. God had a good purpose in doing it. And though I might not see now anything beneficial to me, I do know this: I've got within me, within the framework of a heart that's broken, framework that shed many tears. I've got a soul that it's all right, it's well with my soul. An idle soul cannot be for a long time in a believer. When God created in you that which had never been, no matter what you go through, no matter how devastating it might be, there's that within that can look above to the hand of Almighty God. You can look into the heart of God and see God does what He does because of His great love. Old man can't rest in that. But your soul can. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature or creation, 2 Corinthians 5:17. That which had never been, God said, let there be, and it was so. God one day said to you, let there be life. And now existing in every heart of every child of God is that within that cannot rest in idleness. Blessed are they that do hunger and thirst. It's a sad day when something as precious as life lie silent and inactive. You didn't heed the warnings of God. God spoke to you many times. But one day it's all gone. Life seemed pretty good. Then on. But every man, woman born into the world, this is the light that lighteth every man. They can claim there's no such thing as God. They can carry their posters and all. They can snuff out that light in their children. It would all come into the world with that light. The soul that is idle, that is slothful, lackness or slackness, one that takes no care of internal affairs. The cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, the lust of other things, or the pleasure of life, is all choked out. The light. These things become the sole purpose of your living. And life here crowds out what God brought you into the world with. Do not we at times say to our soul like the fool, or we dare not verbalize it? Soul, take thine ease. You got many goods laid up. Be merry now. And that night God said, thou fool. Great warrior was David. Very jealous for his God and for the people of God. One day, springtime comes, and it's time for the army to go back. David said, I think I'll just stay home this time. And he sent Joab, first time that he had never been head of that army of Israel. I wonder how many nights he lay thinking, by my slothfulness, idleness, the sword will never leave my family. You know he did, children. David just reached that point. He'd relax, and his slothfulness casteth him into a deep sleep. Within, and when he's in that sleep, he neglected that life within. And his eyes begin to roam where they should not. If you know what I'm talking about, that within that lives, take care of him. Folks, isn't this prevalent today? A very dear friend called last Sunday, well, it was Sunday night, and he said, are we making any headway in preaching? I said, none that we can see. It seems that we're fighting just to keep our heads above water, spiritually speaking. We leave today as we came. We live throughout this next week just like the last. We come back next Sunday just as we came today. Now, I don't see much activity of the Spirit of God. Folks, don't you realize that the importance of an event determines your preparation for it? Your best friend's getting married. Would you carelessly go in not prepared? We say we come to hear the word of God, but has the closet found us that morning crying to God for food? For one more time, bringing that life within back to a full heartbeat. Folk, we are living in the midst of foolish virgins. We've all got lamps, they too, but they didn't have a vessel that they could carry oil in. He, the Holy Spirit, is the only one that can develop life within you, make you aware of life, convict you. Don't take that step. And the greatest possession, greatest gift we've got from God our Father is a living soul, where activity within can bring us into the living reality of His being. What's happened to us? Well, one thing, we're living here in the deep south. The greater majority of everybody we work with or around have made professions of faith, yet we never hear anything from them about that God's doing within. We never hear anything from anybody what Christ means to them. Can't find anybody. Or asking, how are you doing within? Salvation has become nothing more than an insurance policy to keep us out of hell, and preachers have become super salesmen, giving away, selling this life insurance program where all you got to do is sign on the dotted line. Well, the boys called yesterday and said, you need to drive through. We die. Said where the old hospital was, they've got drive through prayer. girls standing on the streets out there before you turn saying Jesus loves you. I do not doubt one bit that when somebody would drive through, instead of getting a hamburger, you can drive through and get somebody to pray for you. I doubt not that in that Jesus was offered to an unprepared heart. In this environment we live in, we do not know, we do not think about it, but it's brought a hunger within that we've lost awareness for due to our slothfulness. We've been cast into a deep sleep. We better hope God awakens us before it's too late. One other place, Psalm 42. Psalm 42, as the heart panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? My tears have been my meat day and night, while they continually say unto me, where is thy God? That's an awakened soul. That's a soul that is athirst, seeking to have that thirst quenched by just a drink of living water from that river flowing from the throne of God. My soul thirsts like a wounded deer running, coat lathered up because of the speed to get away. That's an active soul evidenced by a great need within. It is seeking God, though he cannot find God. I haven't found him. But the evidence of a healthy soul is seeking. And his absence has brought tears. And those tears have been my meat. Now you get that? I haven't found God, but I'm seeking God. And I'm so broken-hearted, but tears flowing from my eyes have been my meat until I find God himself. Those tears indicate that a soul is active. Can't find him. Woman, why weepest thou? Whom do you seek? Oh, sir, they've taken away my Lord. That right there ought to convict us when we can live without him for such a lengthy period of time. They've taken away my Lord, and I know not where he is. That's an active soul. And Christ is the wisdom of God. And of all believers said, my fruit is better than gold. That's the wisdom of God talking, in my revenue than choice silver. Proverbs 8. Everything below is of no eternal value. Mary sat at Jesus' feet because her pursuit within was him. His words to her that evening were meat and drink. Why is there no hunger within us? How is it that our souls have been void of God, and yet we do not pant after God? We do not long for God. Has religion added to the church rolls thousands upon thousands of stillbirths? They've called acceptance of Jesus their salvation, and called faith nothing more than an activity that a natural man can perform. Faith and repentance are the gift of God. You weren't born with either of them. To the Gentiles, God granted repentance. Both these activities come from a soul within that God has made alive in that new creature. Do you know that the devils believe God and tremble? That trembling didn't come because of a lack of faith. That they could exercise if they had it. It came because their knowledge of God was such that when this life's over, when this world ends, we know where we're going. Have you come to torment us before our time? They knew they couldn't be saved. They knew there was no one that died to redeem them. Be careful with the blood of Christ, dear ones. Believing, as I said, is a work of the Spirit coming from a soul that's been made alive. He that believeth. That word's used 40 times in the New Testament. It is a present tense verb, not referring to a one-time spiritual event, but to a continual, habitual, lifelong thing, believing. Lifelong process flowing from your soul. To you who believe, He's precious. That's one of the fruits. Along with that, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness. All that flowing from a heart that God has created anew. Though this lukewarmness is the very environment we live in, and all of us, for the most part, proceed on with serving God in a half-hearted way. Because this seems like it's the spiritual way compared to everything around us. To attend the service, read the Bible, pray, but have little dealings with the Spirit and live all the while with an idle soul. Preaching is such today that it requires nothing more of me than being present. Well, I didn't come down here for you to talk to me like that. I promise you one thing. It's from love. Are we doing any good in our preaching? I thought about my answer over the night and the next day and thought I might ought to have been more positive to help him. But how could I be anything less than truthful? He's not. Oft times when Brother Virgil calls, he's broken because of that. churches out there get everybody into some physical activity. It's not where your feet take you. It's not what your hands do. It's where your soul does nothing less than drive you to a living God. Now listen, children, I'm closing. Even in this lukewarm society, what we do making us seem like we are great warriors for God, this is something you got to do. Your soul must labor. Ephesians 5:14, awake thou that sleepest and arise from the dead. Christ shall give thee light. Peter, couldn't you watch with me 1 hour? You know what puts Peter and the disciples to sleep? Slothfulness casteth into a deep sleep. They did not believe that Christ would die physically. Though he was at the very door of death and hell moving in upon his soul, his three disciples could sleep. Peter, couldn't you watch with me 1 hour? Peter's lack of believing, Peter's lack of heeding his master's warning brought that great slothfulness, casting him into a deep sleep. As needful and indispensable as the work of the Spirit within is needed, it's a must. That doesn't give any of us an excuse for laziness. Keep yourselves in the love of God. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. None of those verses mention anything of the Spirit of God. I know we do not have Him in a great way. No, He's silent. But I can't live in the silence. My soul thirsts for the living God. Though the Spirit of God is necessary, me not having Him in a great way cannot be an excuse within me to pass on my laziness of spiritual work, to sleep on with a soul that's idle. Should put the greatest warning and fear of God in your souls as you leave. Are we doing any good in preaching? I don't see any. It's high time for us to awake, children. I care not what's going on in the world. I care not if we might be above because of our belief in God. We still got a ways to go as an individual and then as a church.